Amen. Jimmo. Thanks. Let's give it up for Jimmy. Doesn't he lead these meetings great? I don't know about you, but I think it's amazing. You're very welcome to Liberty Church this morning. Well done to Erica. That was very good, Erica, and very honest. And also great to see Laurie up on the old piano, wasn't it? And yeah, God is good, amen. You know, it's been a... Someone says to me yesterday, well, actually, my sister said to me yesterday, you don't know, like, from one day to the next where life is going to be or what life is going to bring in, you know. So, you know, it's good to have your anchor. It's good to have a bedrock. And that's what Jesus provides for us. He talks about a story about two people, two men that build houses. One built a house on the sandy beach, and the other built this house on the rock. And he says, when the rain came and the storm came, if we know anything about life, rains will come and storms will come. You're probably, after coming out of one, you're probably in one or on your way out of one. That's the way it works. And he says, he's talking about who's your life built upon. If it's on the sand, you're going to be swept away. If it's on the rock, things will come. You will not be swept away. And I was this week, you just don't know. You just don't know. Yesterday, what time is it? 11:45, around this time, myself and Sharon and my two sisters were in England and London on Thursday and Friday for the funeral of an aunt of mine. And yesterday at this time, we were in Harrods. It's crazy, isn't it? Got home at 11:30 last night. Gets up 8:20 this morning, which is never a time I ever get up at, but I would just slept that long this morning. Getting ready to worship with God's people. Getting ready to sit and have a cup of tea afterwards and talk to God's people. You're getting your Word of God prepared. In the afternoon, I'm going to organize with a family a funeral of a young 40-something-year-old man that died this week. And later on, we'll be in Clondalkin at 6 o'clock. And in the morning, I will conduct that funeral. And after that, I'll collapse into bed. So don't ring me. No, I said all of that to say, don't ring me. No. I haven't got to the afternoon yet, Jeff. Then later on Monday night, I'll go out on a date with my lovely wife, Sharon. Because that's what we do on a Monday. Every Monday. Your bedrock has to be in something. And the gospel offers Jesus. And no matter whether you're shopping in Harrods, by the way, we bought a cake because we wanted the bag. Just in case you think I came home with a pair of Ray-Bans or something. Or whether you're going to a funeral. Jesus is the answer. In fact, somebody said to me just recently, if you sit there talking to somebody and you're asking a million questions and you sit there with a piece of paper with the name of Jesus on it, you wouldn't have to say anything. My life's in this. It's Jesus. I have needs. I need security. I need significance. I need to break a lie I believe in. He's amazing. He's the wonder of heaven. God gave his best for us and to us. And I love the theme of this morning around the whole area of freedom, Jimmy. Well done. Because that's what he wants to give us. I loved when Jimmy talked about feelings. You know, we talk about, you know, sometimes we rubbish feelings. I don't think God does. Your feelings tell you what you need. If you feel alone, your heart is telling you, you need to know the closeness. If you feel abandoned, it's all right to feel that way, but it's letting out the truth that you need, that you're never alone when you have God. Sometimes as Christians, we're told to demolish feelings and don't believe them, and they're the telltales of what's going on in the heart. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, I feel. I think this way. That gives us an opportunity to go to God's Word and say, God, what do you say about this? And that leads me right in to what I want to say this morning. Did you ever hear of the word, hands up if you did, a term which is in the Urban Dictionary, that's like new words that come into play over the year. And one of the words that came in over the last couple of years is the word spoiler alert. Has anyone heard that word before? Where have you all been? They haven't. Anyway, a spoiler alert is this. I think we have a slide there, and we're going to throw her up with the definition. A spoiler alert is a term to describe when crucial elements of a movie are about to reveal, meaning like the ending of the character, or a death, or a twist. When someone says to you, when you want to see a movie, and someone says, oh, he dies in the end. Spoiler alert. They told you the end before you knew the beginning. Is that the way you say it, Erica? You said it this morning better than me. Spoiler alert. That's the way Erica done it. So, they're telling the end before you see the beginning. They're telling you the plot or the twists before you know the end. So it means those who don't know the end, they can live and walk through the movie like, in a sense, blinded. Or as those who know the end of the movie, they can tell you confidently what happens in the end. And I believe that Jesus wants to give her spoiler alerts. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal spoiler alerts. He doesn't want us going around like we don't know the end. We do know the end. In the Bible, it tells us that he is the beginning and he is the end. So he doesn't want us to walk around like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? Is he going to do this? Is he going to do this? We fall off the edge of the cliff. We know the end. And he wants us to walk and talk with a confidence about knowing the end result. Name any situation, any circumstance, any storm, anything that is in your life right now, anything that about your children, about grief, about death, about loneliness, whatever. I'll give you a spoiler alert. I'll tell you. I could nearly do it a bit of a quiz if you want. You throw it up and I'll tell you the spoiler alert from the Bible. Because it's in there. He's put it in there that we don't have to walk around blinded. We don't have to walk around the blind following the blind. That we need to look and say, well, what does God say about this? For instance, you need provision in your life. You need something to go well for you. You need something to change. You need God's provision. And that all your circumstances are telling you God doesn't provide. Spoiler alert, he is Jehovah Jireh, God who provides for you. So when your circumstances or when my circumstances are telling me God won't provide for you, this is not going to happen, you go to the end of the movie. You go to the end of the story. You lean back into testimonies that you and I have of God's great provision in our life. And we go, spoiler alert, he will provide. He's faithful then, he's faithful now. He never stops being faithful. Now when they're saying, I was thinking of the loaves and fishes. You know, imagine the disciples, let me just bedrock this on one scripture. Romans 8:28, it says this, God works all things out for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. All things he works out. Romans 8:28, he works everything out. Not a few things, not some of the things, not half of the things. He says he works all things. Now, we might think all things might just mean holy things. No, things as well that we get wrong. I remember I used to drive a Mazda 323 way back. I flew all around this country in that little thing, like preaching the gospel, north, south, east, and west. I kid you not. I would drive for hours, and when the roads weren't good, I would drive for hours in that little thing. And I don't know anything about cars. All I know is that you put the petrol pump in and press. That's, you ask me, carburetors. I only made that word up. I don't even know what that is. He asked me anything about a car, and I don't know. And we were living by faith. What does that mean? It meant that myself and Sharon, before God, we felt called of God. I left my job, went to Bible college with no money, no backing, no money from anything or anywhere other than God said. God spoke to Sharon separately and says, will you trust me in this? So we agreed that we want to trust God. We got our filled by God putting on people's heart to give us money. That's where we lived for 6 or 7 years. So a car was very precious. I remember preaching in a church. I won't tell you what church. But I remember preaching in a church. It was a denomination. And I went in, I preached my guts out. And usually you give your guest speaker, you look after them, you bring them for dinner, you give them some like expenses at least, if you can, and all that stuff. And I walked out of the place, and the man gave me a handshake, and he handed me a box of roses. I remember walking back to the car, looking at the petrol tank. I'm living by faith. I'm waiting. And God teaches you in them moments, no, I'm your provider. So I was just looking to him. He says, no, I'm your provider. I think that was a Valentine's Day where I gave all my daughters roses for Christmas. They're sweet. Offer whatever, Valentine's Day. So I don't know what, and I'm driving home from Kildare. And I've been preaching in Kildare, and I get up to the traffic lights at Newlands Cross there. And the engine blew up. Just, thanks for the sympathy, Jeff. fire came out of this thing, and I'm looking at it going, I wonder will it go when the lights go green? I mean, just, anyway, I pushed it into a garage that was up there at the time, and sat there, knowing that I'm after doing something wrong with the car. I never put oil in it. That's what the engine. The technical term was I scorched. The engine was scorching, even the engine. I remember sitting there saying, the big dum-dum. Somehow I knew. But they'd stick in, and there was a rotten smell. I'm after doing something. And God spoke and says, no, I'll walk all things out for the thing. Even when I felt like a dum-dum. Even when I felt it. What are you going to get in your car? Here's the truth of it. Within, some of you remember this. Within 2 weeks, £8,900 came in my letterbox in my car. From all spaces and places. We did 8,900. Me and Jimmy went to Belgard Motors. I don't know anything about car. I just like colours. Look at the colour. We get that. Jimmy, no, there's no back wheels, but it's a lovely colour. Went up. And it was like, I seen the car. It was another Mazda 323. Beautiful midnight blue. Oh, come on, Jimmy. The old memory's coming back. Oh, look, Jimmy, there's my car. That's the one. Like 9,400 or something like that. Something, whatever. And then we said to him, man, what's the best you'll do for? He said, 8,100. We didn't even bargain again. He says, here, God's provision. All things work. When you blow it, he's able to do stuff with things that are mashed up and shattered and mangled. And when we know the end, I'm not saying we do stupid things to get things. You get me? You know, like, because we're Christians, you know, we don't always get it right in the sense of, oh, that means if I crash my car, God will give me another one. He's not a tick. He's not, he can't be, he uses a word. What's the word God uses? He can't be manipulated. He can't be. He's taking us down. He goes, all right, son, that's what you chose. So you can have the consequences. You're welcome to work every day. Because he's a good father. Imagine if your kid broke the toy every time to get a new toy. What type of father and mother would you be to give in to that all the time? You'd be training a kid for something later on in life that won't happen. When they go to work, I'll break the computer. Go get a new laptop. You're sacked. He can. He's a good father. But all things work together. And when we know that, and when every circumstance is screaming at us, when my own heart was screaming at me, you dope. Oil knows. Anyone knows you put oil in the car. I didn't. Well, I don't know whether I did or not. It wasn't even a thought. When I know that, I can walk into situations, look at situations, when everything is saying, I can say, no, the word says. God said, God spoke, God declared over my life, he'll work all things out for the good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Now, can you imagine a woman waking up on a morning when everybody was going over to a hillside to hear the Master, to hear the Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world, God in person walking the earth. Can you imagine when they were all going over and one woman says, God woke up and says, God, no bread. Imagine I using the old Hebrew name. Because I love this name. Yahweh. Yahweh. I have no bread for my children. Everyone's going to hear the Messiah. I have no bread for my children. Will you provide for me today? Will you show me your goodness today? Can you imagine another prayer of another woman? I have nothing for my children. They're just going to have to go hungry. One whose life is built on sand, accepting absolutely everything that comes into their life. There's no bread, that's it. We go hungry today. Someone who knows Yahweh. Yahweh, you're my provider. Spoiler alert for this woman, he's your provider as well. Woman goes, Yahweh, Abba,
I belong to you. You love me. You provide for your own. You'll never see your own go begging. You'll never leave us as orphans. This is all the word of God. You will never leave the righteous beg for bread. I trust you. I don't know how you're going to get the provision to me. I don't know how you're going to, I don't know who it's going to be provided through. I don't know where it's going to come from, but I trust that you will work this out for my good. Her and her family heard about the Messiah preaching on the hillside. She takes the kids. She goes over. Just listening to Jesus preach. So she says, Jesus, these are hungry. Send them away to get food. She says, you feed them. I tell you what, you have to know. So he went, spoiler alert. He's like, how can we feed them? Even a year's wages wouldn't feed all these people. Spoiler alert, Jesus doesn't need a year's wages. Just find someone with loaves and fishes. They were still calculating in their head, like humanly thinking, circumstantial driven. Jesus said, give them a chance. And when someone comes along, imagine the little boy that got sent with the loaves and fishes. Imagine his testimony. The provision for someone else is probably put in your lap. The answer of someone else's prayer this morning, you're in. Someone's probably coming here with no money for dinner today. And Yahweh says, you get to your own business. Someone's coming in lonely today. Oh, am I ever going to make it? Spoiler alert, yes you are. Keep trusting him. The same trust to receive is the same trust that you have to give. To give the Lord, oh, give me loaves and fishes up. Who likes a fresh cod out burdocks? It'd be hard to give that up now, wouldn't it? The woman's out there with family and Jesus takes the bread. Don't know how you're going to get your provision to me today. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to hear the word of God. I'm going to worship God. I don't know how or who or what way you're going to provide for me. I know you're going to provide for me. And I'm not going to partner with the lie. What a great word Erica used. I'm not partnering with that lie anymore. I'm not accepting that as the truth anymore when there's a truth over my life in the word of God. And I'm going to read. I know Bill Johnson says this. When he doesn't know what's going on, he reads through the Psalms till something lands. He just reads. He reads and reads. 20, 30 Psalms, and then one of them will say, the Lord is your shepherd, and it lands on you. Yes, I shall not be in want. Why? Because he's my provider. He's a good shepherd. And you know the word of God, and you read the word of God. The lady that morning, Abba, I belong to you. I'm trusting that you will provide for me. And he does. She's not just praying, she's declaring. She's proclaiming the scriptures. She's proclaiming the goodness of God. She's not just praying for bread. She's winning a spiritual battle at that moment in her life. She's not just saying, like, can I have bread? She's creating an atmosphere that she can walk in confidently, that she doesn't have to believe the lies that the world and the devil and your own flesh will throw against you. No, I'm not going to believe. I'm going to trust steadfastly in what the Lord. And everything's screaming. Have you been there? Are you there? Are you on the way out or on the way in? Or are you in the middle of something? This is life. Spoiler alert. Woo, 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 woo. He loves you. He cares for you. You belong to him. And when we worry, what does it say about me? It says about me that I'm not trusting him. And what does it say about him? Is he not trustworthy? He who gave his son, he who died on a cross for me, he who took nails in his hands and his feet and his spear in his side and thorns on his head, who cried out, it's finished. That's the God I'm saying I can't trust. The God who sent money from all parts of the nation to provide a massive 3-2-3 for you now. Oh, I need to reverse that. I need to stop believing the lie. Start declaring truth. And then I'm free. Then I'm able to walk in confidence. Can you imagine Noah? I'm building an ark. It never rained up to that point ever in the world.
What are you doing? Oh, I'm building a boat.
Oh, well. He knew the end because God spoke to him. And it's the same for you and me. What does it say about me when I'm anxious? That God doesn't love me anymore because I've sinned. It's saying about me that I don't trust in the all-sufficient sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for all of my sin. Oh, I need to get this right then, Nolan. The Bible says that while you were a sinner, he died for you. Not when you were trying to be good, when you were at your darn worst. And he didn't only die on the cross, but he rose again. Because no grave ain't going to keep Jesus down. When things go wrong, when things look in the ground, when things look dark and gloomy. I had a picture one night, we were praying for a man downstairs. Stephen was his name. I had a picture when I put my hand on his back that this man was deep in the earth. And God was raising him up. Out of death. Out of gloom. God was lifting him up. Does it feel like that this morning? That you're in the depths of the earth. That all the clay is around you. There's maggots at you. Feel like there's nothing going to happen. Spoiler alert, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He's absolutely genius at bringing things that were dead back to life. Making things that are nothing, something. But when it's all around us, we go, no, somebody says this. I said to a woman who just died recently of cancer. Myself and Sharon was up praying in hospital. From Nice, Kathleen. And I don't know about you, but when I get into them situations, I don't know what to do. I'm unbunched. I can give pet answers. I can give religious cliches which are useless and patronizing. We sat there and she's talking. I go, Kathleen, you know, I don't know what to say to you. Can we break bread? Can we remember what Jesus done for us so that death is not the end? But the grave is not the end. And I says, you might think it's easy for me to say that. You know when someone says something to you and you go, yeah, it's easy for you to say. But that's why I'm able to say it, because it's easy for me to say. Because I'm not in the grave. I haven't got the stuff all around me. And someone has to be speaking into that tomb. And you might say, no, you don't know what's going on in my life. Listen, you don't know what's going on in my life. And you don't dare think for 1 minute. You heard my daughter. Pastor's daughters are not exempt from lawyers and pain. And neither are pastors. So don't you dare think for a minute this kid has it all together. He ain't. There's a knock on my door every morning. Same as like at yours. So I'm not preaching from nice pet, clichéable things. I give you my life when I preach. Everything that I have, I give it. When I look at people, I don't want to see shiny, happy, like covered up Facebook living. Just don't want that on the tape because all then the religion. Yes. I don't want it. I don't want that. Look at me, my husband, everything is great on Facebook. They're murdering each other at home. I don't believe a word of any is on Facebook. I'm just telling you now. I have the best wife in the world, Sharon. They make us want to put the best face out. There was the most Holy Ghost meeting I've ever been at. No, it wasn't. I was there. It was brutal. Let's be honest. Oh, where am I going with that now? What was the same, Sharon? He's great at taking dead things and raising them to life. What's dead in your life? What area of your life is even dead? What situation that is crying out to you? Jesus, where are you? Because that's what Lazarus' sister said. If you would have only turned up when I wanted you to turn up, if you'd only done what I wanted you to do, this would be all right. Honey, I am the resurrection. I am the resurrection. When I enter in, things come alive. And the old preachers would say, why did he call Lazarus out of the tomb? He wasn't the only one in the tomb. He called Lazarus by name because if he would have said, come forward, or if he would have just said, live, everyone would have lived. Because he's I am. Lazarus, come forth. He was 4 days dead. He was stinking. Come forth. And he comes forth. Next scripture. Here, just to let you know about Lazarus. It says in the word that they tried to kill him. They tried to kill Lazarus. The religious tried to kill him. Be careful who you let in near the thing that's been resurrected in your life. Be careful who you allow to speak in it. And especially the religious. Especially the religious. The world will celebrate a resurrection. The world will say, wow, that's after happening. You'll have the History Channel. You'll have the Science Channel down to fill them in the resurrection. The church. I don't believe that. Well, do you want to wear these clothes that he was wearing for 4 days? Be careful. Well, God gives you something that he's raising up in you. And you don't let dead people speak to it. They're people who are alive in God's. Amen. Yeah, we agree with that's in your life. I celebrate it that God is doing this in your life. When everything looks dead, spoiler alert, Jesus is alive. Finishing. Finishing. Do you get the concept? We're all broken people. He loves us where we're at, not where we should be. Because none of us are where we should be. You ask Billy Graham, he turned 99, I think, the other day. 98, was it? 99 the other day, Billy Graham. Unbelievable. He said to Billy, even now, I would imagine, how's your prayer life? He said, it could be good. I want to humble him. Prayer, ask me about the prayer line. Because even if they're doing great, they'll always think they're not. None of us are where we should be. And anyone gives that off where they are within the line, I believe me, I'm around 27 years. I'll be around preachers, pastors, priests, vicars, ministers, prostitutes, princes, ambassadors. I've been around it all at this age, billionaires. And if they ever says to me, I've made it, liar. Spoiler alert, you don't have to be that. Just be humble before God. We're all broken, we're all damaged. Somewhere, somehow. It's amazing who you listen to. It's amazing when you hear people's stories. And you go, wow. I think we should share story more in a real honest way. Because that's what Erica did this morning. 21-year-old letters this morning. We're broken. What if they tell everybody? Tell them, it's true. We try to protect what's... I shared this publicly, and now I give out because Mary told someone else to bless them or something. And whatever I tell you, if you think that's bad, it was worse than that. Oh, he's a lawyer. No, he's worse than that. He's the greatest lawyer. Or he's a lustful person. No, he's worse than that. He's the most lustful in the world. You come bulletproof. Devil can't cut you. Oh, I was worse than that, man. At all. Paul, the most religious leader in all of the disciples, he said he was the chief of sinners. He says, no, I'm the scum of the earth, he said. Do you know what? No one was going to attack him in them areas. He's like, no, I think I'm worse than that anyway. Jesus saved me. I don't live out of that. I don't live in that condemnation. I don't live out of that place. But you can't touch me. That's why Jesus said, the devil has come, but he's found nothing on me. That's his goal for you and me. That's it. So those places that he has on us, we expose them to the light. And we just admit, honestly, God, I can't change this, which is absolutely correct. You can't. You don't change yourself into the image of Jesus. The Holy Spirit does that. So when you say, I need to change this, I need to change that,
Spoiler alert, you can't change nothing. But from the inner man, the spirit who was born again, that newness and that perfection will start to move out into those areas that are not new and not perfect. And listening to one another's story gives us compassion for one another. As I tell you, if you knew some of the stories that you said, well, people have been damaged by this. Not us all, but we've all been damaged. Do you know what? We wouldn't have quit this. We wouldn't have quit the gospel. We'd be quick to pray. Say, well, all right. I was with my dad's family this few days. I was in London. We left here 60 years ago and went over to London. My dad stayed here with my dad. We're from Oliver Bond. We went over. My dad was in the RAF with his best friend, Frank Stafford. And then Frank went to Gibraltar and my dad was sent to Berlin. The goal was that they'd come back and they'd get their wives, respective wives, and go to Frank's wife was my dad's sister. So when she came back, barely my mum. She was the youngest of seven kids. My mom died when she was five. And seven girls she was the youngest of. And she didn't go to England. She didn't want to go to make a new life because her dad was still here. The man that had raised her since her mama died. And she stayed to look after him. He was older than me. But I could have done a bit of a coffee. You know what I mean? But all right. You're sitting there and you're learning things about family. You're learning where some of the brokenness comes from. And when you're all right in the knowledge, see, the world will tell you, Facebook will tell you, Instagram will tell you, Closer magazine will tell you, Metropolitan magazine will tell you, be perfect. Help her out, shut her out, wear it out. Your lips are not all right, honey. Bang something into them. I'm telling you, that's what it tells us. Stick some liquid in them to make you look like a fish. I'm sorry if you get this done. You can kill me, I don't care. Here's the spoiler alert. It does nothing for you. All those men see is something weird. And every woman is looking the exact same, which is scary. You're beautiful. You're beautiful. He made you. I'm not saying don't get beautiful. Look at me with my gel. Look at them eyes that I've got what, peeled back or something. But the world tells us not to expose our brokenness, to hide it. And all we're doing is then hide it from him who wants to heal it. We can't run from the pain. Well, we do run from the pain. I hate two things. I hate pain and I hate cold. That's what I said to somebody. If you want to know any information, squeeze me thumb and put a nice cube on my head and I'll tell you everything. I'm like, don't rob a bank with me. I'll tell them everything. Just put me in a cold cell. Or it was Phil Richards. It was this. I'd be brutal to do anything like that. Put me hand in the fridge. I'm telling you, I'll tell you every secret that I know. And when you're comfortable with brokenness, you like to hear brokenness different. Because you know it's there. And when you're comfortable with brokenness, you're able to share different. And being with family, hearing some of my family's brokenness. Wow, that's where that comes from. Is that right? And also some of the things when you're with family of old. You know, Auntie was 87 that time. You're at the two left down the third day of them. And sitting there and you're hearing things that you're grateful for family that you don't know. That healed some of the brokenness. Because you realize, well, my mom wasn't just like that for no reason. She lost her mom when she was born. Being raised
for sisters or a dad.
You know, you're thankful and you listen to one another and you hear people's stories and go, it's all right, none of our families are perfect. It's all right. A young man telling me, Noel, do you remember when you're running up the stairs and your dad is running after you with a belt in his hand? And jump into the bed and pull the covers off, you're thinking the cover's going to protect you. And a man's fist is raining down on you. I'm sitting in my office, quiet. For him, I'm saying to him, I've never experienced that before. My mum and dad were in the boiler. Yeah, we got Cooper out here, but we always knew we deserved it. And then hearing the family, you realise you're sitting there with them and you're going, I'm so grateful for what I'm doing. You heal some of your brokenness. That stuff stores things in us. It wants to make us whole. Spoil out there. Things say you're damaged forever. You're never going to get it right. You're never going to think. Spoiler alert, he's come to heal, to save. He's come to touch those emotions. He's touched to release them. He's come into he wants to come into those places and liberate us with love. I watched a movie recently. One or two bits in it that is unsavory, but overall movie, fantastic. Jeremy Renner plays the lead role in it. It's called Wind River. It's about an Indian tracker who, like in modern day Colorado, I think it was, and he's going off looking for something, and in the snow in Colorado, he finds a girl dead. Young Indian, Native American woman, 18, 20 years of age. Dragged off, raped, left dead. He finds her. He's lost a daughter. His character's lost a daughter in it as well, the same age. Do you know that they say, and it comes up at the end, it's a true story, that there's no statistics in America for missing Native American women. Like, there's statistics for every other people group, but none official for Native American women. That makes you angry. Someone's daughter, someone's mother, someone's sister. And he's already lost the girl as a result of going missing. He never found her. And now he finds a girl. And there's a young FBI agent comes into the scene, a young girl who was on her way from Vegas and ended up getting a call to go to the snowy Colorado mountains. And so she goes there and she's a bit brash because she wants to get her job done. And she goes into the father of the daughter of the girl that was found dead. And she wants no questions. She has some questions. She's real, you know, another Native American man, and he's after just losing his dog. And she just wants to get, can I speak to your wife? And da da da. Jeremy Lima, and his character runs it. He opens the door and he looks. So two men are standing outside. One of those movies that, like, leak in its setting. It's so real. It's like no Hollywood glam on him. And he's standing outside. Jeremy Renner's, Jeremy Renner, I think his name is. His character goes, can I tell you something? He says, yeah. He says, I went to a grief conference and my daughter was killed and I'm missing. And a counselor spoke to me. He said, I don't know whether what he said was what he said that meant something to me or the way he said it that meant something to me. But he says, he said this, one man that's lost a daughter to another man's just after losing his daughter. He says, I want to tell you something. You will never be the same. And I think it's wisdom just in that alone. That we yearn for something pre-hurt. You will never be the same because of what happened. You'll never be the same when you lose somebody. There's a part that's missing. There's a part that's broken. There's a part. And he says, there's good news and there's bad news. He said, what's the bad news? He said, the bad news is you're never going to be the same. He said, what's the good news? He says, the good news is that if you will face your pain, will be out with you.
He said, if you try to steer around it, go underneath it or over it, or vegetate out of it, or get stoned to not deal with it, or whatever which way, he says, it will rob you of this. You will never be able to remember the good memories, because you'll always be at the cold house again. You'll never be able to get the good memories. He said, you can visit her every day in your mind when you get through the pain. But if you don't get through the pain, you'll just visit the death site, the death certificate. He says, if you go beyond the pain, the memories will be as you walk up for our four steps. New little girl, Simon's little girl this morning downstairs, lifting her hands up. If you don't get beyond the pain, you won't be able to see the color of the eyes of the little one. But if you do get beyond it, you'll be able to celebrate those memories. There's no difference with us. When we're stuck at the thing, at the graveyard, and we go, will I ever get out of this? Yes. But you're going to have to face it. And there's a Savior. When everything else screams at you and says, you're on your own in all of this. Spoiler alert, you're not on your own. He's just a breath away, a prayer away. When everything says, I'll never be the same, yet you will never be the same. But that's not the same as that you're not moving on with your life. Never being the same doesn't mean you wipe your memory of what happened. It means the memory hasn't got a sharp edge on it anymore. It's not dictating how you feel every day, what you do every day, or where you go every day. And this Jesus wants to bring us through. Some of us say, well, great, is it worth the hassle? Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. Because you've been with me. Whatever life is hassling you, spoiler alert in this scripture. I've no joy, spoiler alert, he is a joy. I've no hope, he is a hope. I don't feel loved by God. Spoiler alert, you will feel loved by God. The Bible says that he poured out his love into your heart by the power of the Holy Spirit whom he's given to us. Whatever it is, you name it, I'll never get over it. Spoiler alert, he says to the prisoner, you can be set free. Let's start.